Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, if you're coming to the U.S., you will need a COVID test to get in, and the virus brings down one of the biggest low-fare carriers across the Atlantic. Details next in the news.
You know, we haven't checked in with Hawaii for a few weeks, and yes, the rules of travel have changed again. We have an update to make you a smarter traveler to the islands. That's at 3:20.
Next Wednesday, we will inaugurate a new president, but because of COVID and the violence at the Capitol, you can't be there in person. Destination D.C. has a virtual tour of the district for adults and kids, and at 3:35, our special guest Lindsay Hill will explain how you can be a part of the inauguration virtually.
And at 3:45, we tap into Mark's expertise and have him answer some travel questions that come into the travel bag about travel hacker fares online, dogs in the sky, travel credit cards, and vaccinated travel. Be with us as we dig into the Travel Guy's mailbag.
Soon the travelers of the world will grab their bags and go in search of their dreams. While we await departure announcements, your dreams are safe with us. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Alaska, I go north to Russia's own.
All I want, man.
I come from a land of love.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks on Route 66. Let it roll.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, 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 my friends. Welcome to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman to my extreme left.
Cute.
I don't know what that means. Tom Romano with you here on the other side of the left.
Yeah. The other left. Here to be, if I wave out my window here at the Sports Leisure Vacations office, I could. If I was on the roof, you might be able to see me if you went outside. You're not that far away.
Not very far.
But we wouldn't be able to see Luis.
No, no. By the way, Luis will be, I didn't get a chance to tell you off the air, so I'll tell you on the air because then we'll remember. Luis won't be with us next weekend.
Ah.
He's gonna be filling in middays at KFBK. I hope that's okay to expose him like that.
So he's
that,
not willing to work 7 days a week? Or
not this time.
Is it a wife thing or? Maybe we should have offered him more money than those weekday people.
Anyway, look, folks, if you want to follow along with the stuff we talk about, links to our special guests, you'll find them, as always, at TravelGuysRadio.com. And later on today, we're going to get into the mailbag, and that's where you leave questions, too, at TravelGuysRadio.com. We try to, cover a lot of stuff on the show, but sometimes there are some specific things you're looking for answers. We'll answer them on the air, and if not, Mark will shoot you back an email and answer your question there. So, this is a beautiful day. My gosh, the weather the last 2 days has just been off the hook. It's like almost 70 outside. I'm actually going to fire up the barbecue when the radio show's over and cook some ribs today. Uh-huh. In honor of a lot of the summer that we missed and the spring that I'm looking forward to.
If we don't get some rain pretty soon, you won't have to fire up the barbecue because the barbecue will be in your backyard.
Oh, enough of that. Yeah. At the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we bring you up to date on the travel news. Let's do it. Mark, what you got for us today?
Well, let's see. If you come to the United States, you have to quarantine or have a COVID test. United Kingdom has done the same thing. Starting on Monday, if you are headed to the United Kingdom, Prime Minister Boris Johnson says that you will have to have a negative COVID test to be allowed in. There are all kinds of other rules for people who don't get the test and stuff, but let me just tell you, the easiest thing to do is get the test. This might impact you, Thomas. Are you still an annual pass holder to Disneyland?
I am not, but I do have a daughter and son-in-law who live here in town, and this is pretty hard on them because they found the annual pass a way that they could afford to go to Disneyland multiple times. They are just enormous fans.
The Romano family has a Disneyland gene.
Oh, yeah.
That's embedded into its body. And,
Absolutely.
It just starts beeping and sends you back there every once in a while.
Yeah, well, anyway, I know that they were going to scrub the annual passes. I do believe, and maybe you have something on this, they have something else up their sleeve.
You think?
I do.
Well, I think they're going to have to get the doors open first.
Right.
And then in Florida, they've got the doors open, but nobody's coming. So they've kind of got an example of both situations. I think that may be why they're not screaming louder about California being closed, is that they've seen what happens if you open up and it's not, the public doesn't perceive it as really being safe, then not enough of them are. My guess is that their Florida park, if they're not getting 25% attendance every day, with the amount of people that it costs to run that place, I can't imagine that they're making much money, if any at all. Of course, they're Disney, so, I mean, it's not like they're going to go bankrupt tomorrow. But, yes, as you guessed, they are ending their annual pass holder program. If you had one from last year, they're going to make a refund adjustment for you. And then they're not going to – it doesn't say that they will never have them again, but it just says they're putting them on hold for this year because they have no idea of what's going to happen. And like you said, maybe they will come up with something else down the road. Speaking of refunds, cruise lines are canceling more sailings into the spring. I remember we talked about this when their original sale date was October the 1st or October the 31st or something like that, and we said we didn't think so. And so then they went to January, and we said again we didn't think so. So now they're talking about Holland America's canceled everything through the end of April. My guess is they have to figure out a system, and then they have to show that system, at least to the U.S. government, and I have no idea in other countries, but they're going to have to show them that it works. They're going to have to run cruises with, we talked about people signing up for these cruises to nowhere just for a few days to get out on the ocean and make sure that what they're trying to do is workable in the ocean. So if it were me and I were a cruise person, other than maybe a river cruise, that's a whole different situation, I would probably be looking to 2022. Or maybe consider a river cruise from midsummer on in Canada or the U.S. if you're really a cruise fan. But anyhows, Delta has temporarily banned firearms on flights to Washington, D.C. They had some real issues last week with the apparently with some of the folks who were part of the siege on the Capitol coming and going. Many airlines had issues. We talked about this last weekend about some of the people on their way in and some of them on their way home. So Delta took the with the inauguration coming up and the possibility of there being some more issues in D.C., Delta has banned checked firearms arms on flights to Washington, D.C., and I see just now it has popped up a little while ago that other carriers basically followed them in. So you can't take your gun to Washington if you want to go.
Now, does this include, you know, obviously if you were going to, as a carry-on, you know, and reveal it through check-in,
yeah.
But what does that also include those?
You can't do that. No,
they're not letting them in their
bag. No, you just it's not so much the airplane. I think what they've decided is that they don't want people with guns in D.C. And the other thing is that the airlines had issues with these folks who didn't behave on the airplanes, and they had some issues. And gosh, the number of people, almost 200 people, were added to the Do Not Fly list last week. So that tells you that. And so the message they're trying to send, and of course. Now it looks like the people are not going to head to D.C. for the inauguration, but what the message they're trying to send. And then some follow-up stuff from the FAA here, too, says they are going to be stricter on imposing fines if an aircraft has to turn around and go back to the gate, or, heaven forbid, it's in the sky and you have a temper tantrum and they have to go back to an airport or land someplace that they're not supposed to. They're going to charge you for all of that, and they're going to fine you besides, and then they're not going to let you fly anymore. So if you're going to throw a temper tantrum on the airplane, just be prepared for the fact that it might be the last time you ever do that, because the option may not be available for you. So if you're going to take your stand and fall on your sword, make sure it's a sword worth falling on, because the FAA and the airlines have had enough of people, and I'm going to suggest you most of the other people that fly on planes have had enough with people misbehaving on aircraft. So behave. If you want to fly on the plane with us, behave yourself, bottom line. We mentioned that you have to have a COVID-19 test to get into Great Britain. You also have to have one to get into the United States. So if you before departure, you have to get a required test from a special provider. So if you have someone, a friend or relatives who are coming here, or you are leaving and coming home, this applies to you too. So I don't know how many times we've said this since the beginning of the COVID thing, but if you are going to travel, either have somebody who does their homework or do your homework yourself, because things are not, little things are not the way that they would normally be. Hey, I was looking at airfares yesterday for something and noticed that JetBlue has changed their, ever since they've been in Sacramento, their flight to New York City was a red eye. And then United put one on to Newark a couple of years ago. And so we had two nonstops to New York airports, and they were both overnight flights. And so JetBlue, I have noticed, has moved their overnight flight to a daytime flight. And some days there are two flights, both the red eye and the daytime flight leaves at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Here's the good thing. If you're in New York at JFK, you can leave at 9:30 in the morning, and by 20 minutes to one, you're in Sacramento nonstop. Then that flight. Yeah, not bad at all. The flight turns around an hour and 15 minutes later and goes back to JFK, getting in about 10 o'clock at night. So if you didn't want to get up in, you know, wee hours of the morning and take the morning flights that get you into New York in late afternoon, there's a chance to get in the evening. So anyway, kind of a cool thing. And plus, fares as low as $127 each way to New York City. Of course, that's the basic Blue. I think that's where they tie you to the wing. both directions. We mentioned in the headlines that we have seen the death of an airline this week. Indeed, the Norwegian Air Shuttle, which was famous for the last 10, 12 years for providing really low fares, particularly to the East Coast, to Norway, and then on to other destinations in Europe, has basically gone under. They have reconnoitered themselves as a small local regional airline, flying out of Norway to a dozen or so destinations in Europe. But basically, it's all over for Norwegian Air. So for those of you who like to put Crisco on both sides of your body and cram yourself into a $400 round-trip seat across the pond, Joe Brancatelli tells me that their premium economy service on Norwegian, he said, was a good deal. He said it was cheaper than a regular economy on United or American. You had a little extra leg room. They gave you some snacks and a couple, you know, little parting gifts and stuff like that. And he said, yeah, it wasn't bad. I will miss it, he said. But anyways, one bites the dust. And a couple of quickies here, since we are the travel and entertainment guys. Mrs. Rogers passed away at 92 last week. We lost Mr. Rogers a few years ago. And in the good news department, Betty White is celebrating her 99th birthday. Go,
Unbelievable.
Betty.
Unbelievable.
Betty. She is the ever-ready bunny. She just keeps on ticking. And that is your travel and entertainment news for today.
And again, TravelGuysRadio.com will get you links to our special guests and so much more on a regular basis. Also, the podcasts. If you don't have an opportunity to catch the show live, you can find it there as well as at iHeartRadio. All right, coming up, it's been a while since we've talked about Hawaii. Things are always changing over there. Let's find out what Mark has, what he knows about traveling to Hawaii when we come back from a short recess. We'll be back here on The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Welcome back to The Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Nice to have you along. We have, I suspect, I haven't met all of them, Tom, but I suspect we have one of the nicest audiences, radio audiences in town. Now, we're a travel show, so, well, I mean, I'm just bragging a little bit because I see the notes that people send. It's pretty rare. You know, once in a while, somebody sends something that's critical, and sometimes it's, I sit there and go, yeah, I see that. And
like the person who wrote and corrected the way I said, what was it? Oregon.
And yes.
Anyway,
that's like I still get the vice president's name wrong. Kamala. Yeah. Instead of the way that. Yeah. Anyways, moving along. We got a couple of, the reason that I brought that up was because we got a couple of nice notes from people in the audience We have enjoyed traveling by automobile to visit our kids and families throughout the western two-thirds of the country during our 48 years of marriage. We've tried to avoid interstate highways most of the time. We have visited Tonopah, Nevada for a wonderful day and stayed at the Mitzpah for a night, peacefully, without ghosts. Great place to stay and eat. You might mention in the future that two great highways intersect at Tonopah, U.S. 6 and U.S. 95. Both highways are historic themselves, as well as a beautiful trip. By the way, Tom, take your San Antonio kids out to a meal at Gunther House. Check them out, and she gives you the email address. And that's from Larry and Janice McKnight, and they're right about the Gunther House.
All right. I can't believe as many times have I been there. That's never popped out. I will check it out. Thank you, too.
It's a historic spot. And here's another one. From Eric, he writes and says, I just want to compliment you and thank you for your show. First time hearing it, thought it was an infomercial. Nicely produced. But then listened closely after COVID hit and noticed the great travel tips, especially airlines and airports. I'm holding a ton of credit card points for Southwest Airlines, but can't go anywhere like Vegas. Here's a guy you should know, Tom. Your show is my light at the end of the tunnel. I must listen every Sunday or podcast. Thank you again, you guys. So thank you to the folks who took the time to send some nice things. And whether you have nice things or icky things to say, you can go to travelguysradio.com, and there is a form there that you can fill out and send it to us.
I like the way you put that, icky things. We accept icky things.
Sure,
just don't touch them. Yeah. Okay. Hawaii. What's going on?
Well, you know, the travel rules change there every couple of weeks, kind of. Because the governor, I don't know, the mayor of Honolulu is going to run for governor against the current governor, apparently. And one of the other mayors is thinking about it also. Each island has a mayor. So each island is a separate county except for Maui, which includes, I think, Lanai and Molokai and the secondary islands there. But otherwise, each island has their own, you know, county government. And then, of course, you have the state government. So this is the deal. You couldn't get to Kauai to save your life, really, pretty much, unless you were willing to do what is now back down to a 10-day quarantine. But Kauai has relented a little bit. If you go to another Hawaiian island first, and you're there for at least 3 days, remembering that you had to have a test within 72 hours of your departure, to get onto the first island that was a negative COVID test, then you can take a test when you get to one of the other islands after you, once you've been there 3 days, and if it comes back negative, you can go on to Kauai. So that's how you can visit the island of Kauai, which in my opinion is the best place to visit in the islands. But you can go to Kauai, and especially right now, there, because of all of these restrictions, there would be like nobody there. And they would be like really happy to see you. It's an extra hoop to jump through, but it is a way at least for you to be able to have a multi-island vacation that includes the island of Kauai. If you are going to Hawaii and going to any of the other islands, you can go. Of course, you have to have a test. You have to be careful and have it at least. You have to have the results when you get off the airplane. Otherwise, you have to go into quarantine. And one of my staff who has a family who works at Hawaiian Air, and so it's a little easier for her to hop back and forth, and she has a new grandchild that she went to visit over the holidays in right before the holidays in Hawaii. And she didn't have her tests didn't come back until after she had landed, and she was on her way to the penalty box, and the results came in. So she was able to backtrack and
in the nick of time.
Yeah, but still, it's and now with all of the other countries and stuff. Really, I would tell you if you really have to go someplace and it's because it's a life or death situation or something that you just have to do, then fine. But if you can avoid travel for another month or so, the vaccination numbers are going to start going up not only here but on other places around the planet. And since we are a planet now, this started in China. It didn't take it very long to get here. So we get rid of it here, or we get it under control here. If it's not under control other places, it'll be back here before too long. So hang loose, as they say in Hawaii, and maybe the opportunity to be able to get over to the islands. One thing, the other thing, too, is hearing from folks in the island, talked to a couple friends on Kauai and one in Honolulu this past week, and basically they're like, well, it was awful when there were no tourists here. Now the hotels are basically about 25% full. So their problem is, they said, the people who are here, they expect some things to be open. And the problem is that we can't really break even with 25% of the hotel. If I get a restaurant, in Waikiki, and 25% is what I'm getting, I'm almost better to be closed. So they're really, just like many people here, we're all in a really tough situation. But it looks like the cavalry is coming. We have two vaccines. We can just get them out to people. And then we've got two more that apparently will be coming in the next couple of weeks. So if you really want to go to Hawaii and to get to Kauai, there is a way. But if you're willing to just wait a couple more months, I think it will be a lot easier to come and go to the islands. And that applies really to any of the other island nations too: Fiji, Tahiti, Samoa, Guam, any of those places that you might be heading out to in the Pacific. They're small places with very limited medical facilities, so they're concerned. You look like you're ready to ask a question.
Well, I just wanted to point out that you got to, as you mentioned, be patient. Wait, there will be vaccines in arms and so forth. But this is a perfect time to get online, go to the airline's website that you like to travel with, go out a few months, pick some dates, go ahead and book those flights and get those deals. Because I know you'll agree, Mark, that the moment that it starts to come back and,
there will be no more early bird getting there'll be no more early bird getting the worm when the flag goes down. You're right.
There you go. So go there, spend a little time now that you got it, and get those flights booked. Okay, coming up after the break, a little bit of a message to the Travel Club members with Sports Leisure Vacations, and then off to Washington, D.C. for the inauguration. That's next here on the Travel Guys. It's Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, Travel and Entertainment Guys. Visit us at TravelGuysRadio.com. Thanks for joining us on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday. Mark, we've added this particular time on each program so that you could bring the Sports Leisure Vacation Travel Club members a message, an update. So let's get it done.
For regular folks who are just out driving around picking up our radio show here, our program is sponsored by Sports Leisure Vacations, local tour company here in Sacramento. So take a minute out of the program at this spot to kind of give an update, because we have a lot of those travelers listening to the program. So to Sports Leisure travelers, I will tell you that an email newsletter went out in the last 7-8 days. So if you didn't get that, look in your spam folder. A regular printed newsletter will go out in early February. All of the trips, day and extended tours, have been canceled through until the last day of February. We're hoping there will be some day trips back on the road in April, and some of our long-distance trips we're hoping in March. And we still have a trip to Tonopah and Laughlin, Nevada, departing the last day of February that I think still has a shot. So we'll see. We don't want to push it too much, but we'll be back on the road before some time. So thank you to the Sports Leisure travelers who are listening. And you can get updates if you go to 3Ws at sportsleisure, all one word, .com. You can also find out there about Sacramento's premier tour company, www.sportsleisure.com.
Hello there. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on KFBK. Thanks for joining us. By the way, all the things that we talk about, links to our special guests can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. We have an inauguration coming up right around the corner, which brings us to our special guest for today on the Travel Guys. Mark, tell us who we have on the line today.
Well, Tom, we have Lindsay Hill. Lindsay is with Destination DC. She's a tourism manager at Destination DC, and she helps people like me put together great packages and things in Washington, D.C. You know, nobody now can go really to Washington, D.C., and the inauguration was going to be scaled down because of COVID anyway, and now it's really been scaled down for security reasons, and they basically told people don't go. And so all the parades and all the pomp and circumstance and all that stuff is most of that is going to be gone, or you're going to watch it on TV. Lindsay came up with this incredibly awesome idea of creating a virtual four-day itinerary, just taking you through a whole bunch of different aspects and angles of the inauguration, and giving you all of these links to websites. And as I was telling her before the interview started, I'm a history buff, Tom. And so I started just wandering through this, and I was like, wow, this is just fascinating stuff. It was like how Civil War soldiers cast their ballots during the Civil War. And she's got, I mean, just dozens, literally, of things that have to do directly, indirectly with the inauguration. Lindsay, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thank you so much. Thanks for the kind words. I'm happy to be here.
Well, this is just really, I thought, a great idea. I mean, anybody could have done this if they spent, I have no idea how much time you spent on this, but it's 5 pages and it's really well organized. And I want to tell folks at travelguysradio.com, there is a link to this. So you can go and experience this for yourself, a virtual itinerary for the presidential inauguration. Lindsay, what gave you the idea to do this?
This is actually the third in a series of virtual itineraries I've created for Washington, D.C. since last spring when travel halted. So I was impressed and inspired by all the information provided by our local partners and felt that there was no reason that travelers couldn't still visit us in a way that felt like an organized led trip that could be accessed from anywhere and inspire travel to D.C. when the time is right. So, you know, Washington, D.C. is proud to host inauguration every 4 years. And I felt it was important to create a rich experience for educators, parents, history enthusiasts like you and me. I was a history major back in college, and simply curious to dive deeper into what this event is and how it came to be as it is today. So it's meant to serve as an educational document on the history of inauguration, the traditional events, and how past presidents are honored in the nation's capital.
Wow, you've got everything here from, you talk about George Washington, and of course, a visit out to Mount Vernon, which was his home. There are all kinds of, you talk about Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and take folks to the website for Roosevelt Island, but which is up in New York. There's all kinds of just really cool things in here. So I got to ask you, because I spent quite a bit of time wandering around on this last night, and I'll probably do the same at least once before the inauguration. You put all this stuff together. Do you have a favorite thing? Is there a, can you give us a tip? Is there something that you found that you went, oh, wow, I never would have found that? Or, you know, something you thought was really cool, or, you know, inauguration cooking recipes, or what they fed the horses, or anything like that?
I mean, there was so much I learned about inauguration from this, that from my many years living on this planet, I did not know. I kind of picked a favorite from each of the days, because there's 4 days of activities. We also have a new virtual educational video series called Learning on Location, our first one focused on voting. And so I really got to explore American History Museum's American Democracy, A Great Leap of Faith, which walks through from the start of the country to today and how the voting process works. And they have a really amazing online exhibit that goes with that. I think that's such a great foundation to start with. And I just found it fascinating. I think as well that the little tidbits about, you know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt and, you know, the fact that, you know, there was no law mandating that presidents serve 2 terms until after he was our only 3rd-term president, and then that materialized into the 22nd Amendment. I think that's really, really cool to know about. And then some other things that just kind of take you further into, you know, the D.C. landscape than the usual landmarks or history you know, such as, you know, that Woodrow Wilson, after his presidency, decided to stay in D.C. and make it his home, and you can still visit his house, and that he's the only president that is actually buried with, you know, in the city limits at the National Cathedral.
I thought that that part was particularly cool. Going to Woodrow Wilson's house, that really wasn't something that I expected when I started on my little journey. Tom?
Lindsay, I wanted to say, it sounds to me like this would be a great activity, if you will, for parents with kids.
Absolutely, yes. You'll see throughout the document that there are even suggested assignments, which, you know, depending on your personality, even as an adult, you might find fun. But this, again, is a great way, since there's a lot of learning from home right now, a great way for parents to provide some secondary information, or even teachers, educators, to utilize in the classroom to keep their students engaged and learning in a fun manner.
It's pretty cool. There's even, Tom, a part here about the electoral college process,
mm-hmm.
to understand how a president is confirmed from election day to inauguration, something that we've all just kind of painfully gone through here in the last couple
right.
of months.
Right, we should have gotten this a few weeks ago. We would have actually maybe kind of known.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, Lindsay, this is really fun. We're talking about Washington, D.C. and the inauguration. And we're talking with Lindsay Hill, who is with Destination D.C. And Lindsay has put together this amazing virtual itinerary for the presidential inauguration. You can go to travelguysradio.com. There is a link there. And like I said, you can spend 10 minutes on this, or probably you could spend 10 hours. Lindsay has done just a great job of putting together all different types of experiences that relate to the inauguration experience overall. And Lindsay, good job. It's a lot of folks have done virtual things, and we've seen concerts and all that kind of stuff, but I thought this was really unique and really a great public service. So thank you for allowing me to share it with our listeners.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
That sounds like a lot of fun. You know what? And you don't have to get all like dressed up. You don't have to weather the weather.
Nope.
Which I guess could be kind of nippy in Washington, D.C. at this time of the year. And weather all the other stuff that goes with it. So very cool, Mark. I'm glad you rounded her up. And it sounds like you guys have had a relationship for a while in regards to putting together Washington trips for sports leisure. You got anything on the horizon? Maybe next year?
Next year. And for those people who are presidential historians, because Mr. Biden's stomping grounds are in eastern Pennsylvania and in Delaware, those are all close to Washington. So I'm sure there'll be an offering next year that will include the opportunity to explore some of the president's background. We did that with the Bushes in Texas. We did it with the Clintons in Arkansas. So those are generally very popular.
All right. Look, if you missed the link to where you can find all this wonderful online stuff, travelguysradio.com, you can find it there. Next up, into the Travel Guys mailbag we go, right here on the radio. Here we go. Sweet Home Abilana. Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano with you, travel and entertainment goofy guys, thanks for joining us. Brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, who from time to time do their best to try to disown us, but, you know, they're kind of stuck with it. So there you go.
Pretty much.
All right. To travelguysradio.com, we get questions. And Mark has answers. He's the travel expert, so we're going to turn it over to him. But I get to participate. I have the questions.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You ready, Mark?
I'm ready.
Okay, Pasky in Elk Grove asks, I want to travel to visit my family in Pakistan this summer. Do you think getting the vaccine will allow me to fly to India? Their COVID situation, much like ours, up and down in different parts of the country. What advice do you have for Pasky?
Well, it's wait and see. I wouldn't buy a ticket that wasn't completely refundable for COVID reasons right now. So I would have a tendency to wait. I don't know exactly what from what I've followed with India, Pakistan, of course, separate country. But India's had, he describes it well, up and down. So assuming that Pakistan is, has been the same way. I think this all is the travel thing comes down to at some point we're going to have enough people vaccinated that the number of infections is going to go down, especially if we take care of the people who are the most likely to be infected in the first place. Then the numbers are going to start coming down. People are going to be safer, and then they'll be able to travel. Yes, Paskey, I think you will be able to visit your family in Pakistan this summer. I think if you are willing, if you want to go buy a ticket right now, I'd maybe shoot for August or September. If you want to wait, I do think there probably is a pretty good possibility you'll be able to go in June or July. Of course, some of that, from a U.S. standpoint, some of that will depend on what happens on the other end.
All right, then. Mike in Rockland asks, when I go online to sites that sell air tickets like Kayak, they show what they call hacker fares. It sounds suspicious, doesn't it? Sometimes he says the fares are pretty good. Would you recommend using them and get yourself a hacker fare?
I can't speak for other websites, but for Kayak, which is a very popular site with people who are searching airfares, they will take, for example, they will fly you on United Airlines to the hub of another airline. They'll fly on United to Los Angeles, and then they'll put you on a Delta flight to somewhere else. And because of the way their fares are constructed, you're getting a good fare on both, and both airlines know that you're traveling on the other airline. So hypothetically, they will interline your baggage, your checked baggage, and it will show up at your destination just like it should. I would always carry an extra change of clothes in that situation, because what's going to happen is that if anything goes wrong, Airline A is going to blame Airline B, and Airline B is going to blame Airline A. So it always makes me nervous flying two carriers in one direction if I have checked luggage. If I don't have checked luggage, now it's a different game. If that's a low fare and it's a reasonable connection, there's no reason not to do it. Be careful, however, if you're buying a fare from an online spot, that's a reputable online agency, you're probably okay. If you're trying to be careful, though, because there are some things that are against airline rules, and if you break a rule and then you get stuck, the airline's going to look at your ticket and say, well, you broke the rule, so you know we're not going to help you. Or the rest of your ticket is no good. Or something like that. So some people get fancy. Sometimes they buy one-way tickets on multiple carriers and stuff so they can save a little money. Those are for people who, A, don't have to do something the very next day when they get someplace where they're going or back home, so that if they get delayed, it's not a problem. And B, they're generally not checking luggage. They're not traveling with small children, somebody who needs special assistance at the gate, stuff like that. So, yes, to answer Mike's question a little more directly, the fares on Kayak are probably safe. If you go other places, then be careful. You might want to check with the airlines before you purchase something or after you purchase it, and you have that 24-hour window. Remember, anytime you buy an air ticket in the United States, you have 24 hours to change your mind and get a full cash refund, or however that you paid for it, credit card or whatever.
Well, all right. You're listening to the Travel Guys. We're doing the mailbag at travelguysradio.com. Colley from Sacramento writes, I've heard you guys talk about flying with dogs and the new rules. And Colley says, I recall, didn't Tom say that he has a family dog that he takes on a trip? And she wants to be able to take her dog on the plane, and not a service animal, just a plain old pooch. And, Collie, it's not mine. Both of my daughters have dogs. I don't have any grandchildren, but I have granddoggies. And and from time to time, whenever they travel, we've traveled to San Antonio several times with Ace. He's my older daughter's dog, and we always fly Southwest, so I can't speak for some of the other carriers, but I imagine they're all a lot the same. You can pay a flat fee with Southwest. It's like $90-$95, and that space under your feet in front of you is you can put your pooch there. Generally, the rule is 20 pounds or under, one animal per carrier. So if you have two dogs, you're going to need another person with you to be able to put the second dog under their feet. I've never tried to squeeze two dogs into one carrier, but that could happen in the future if the prices keep going up. But yes, you can take your pooch. In fact, it's easier to take a family pet the proper way on a plane than people that try to sneak on and make up stuff with service dogs or, you know, emotional support dogs and all of that stuff. You know, like I say, though, be prepared. The fee is each way. So you're going to pay $95 going and $95 coming to take the pooch along. Now, you know, of course, boarding fees can cost you that much or more. And sometimes you can't trust the neighbor kid to watch your pet. So there you go, Collie. Check with the airline of your choice and they'll hook you up.
And if it's not a dog, it's going in the baggage. I mean, it's going underneath. So
or it's not
even
going
if it's
at
a
all.
Little kitty cat. Most of the airlines now are saying you can bring the dog in the cabin, service animal or otherwise. Like Tom said, if it meets certain qualifications, but no more. The parakeets and the cockatoos and the Great Danes are going down below.
Yeah, I've never attempted to take anything other than a dog. All right, Joe and Quincy writes. Here's our last question for this show. He said he enjoys the show. Comes in pretty clear in Plumas where he lives. Thanks for having the podcast. Because when weather's bad on a Sunday, he can pick up the podcast and listen to it a few days later. His question is in regards to travel credit cards. He has a Delta American Express, and it's about to come up for renewal, $95 a year for renewal. Not sure getting triple miles at the grocery store and service station is enough to pay to keep the card. Do you have any wisdom? You must have a few of those yourself there, Mark.
I have a whole handful. We have every major hotel chain and every major airline because as a tour company, we need those. And whenever it's advantageous, even if you only fly Delta with a couple of groups a year, you want to get the miles from the credit card. It builds free tickets and things that you can use for staff members and yourself and stuff like that. Check out new trips and all kinds of things. So and what the travel credit cards have done here quickly, Tom, is they have offered, because they're saying you can't travel, well, okay, we'll give you triple miles when you buy groceries, or we'll give you triple
right.
miles when you fill up your gas, or we'll give you 10 times miles when you go to the veterinary clinic, or, I mean, really and truly, they've gotten creative in that way, and different categories have gotten large bonuses because, of course, they want you to keep paying the fee, and they want you to just hang around. At this point, if you've, Joe, if you're this close now to being able to travel again and you plan on traveling when you can, I would say probably, keep the card. Here's another thing that a lot of people don't know. We talked about this before. If you've got a affinity credit card, travel, whatever it is, those people make a lot of money on those credit cards. If you call the credit card issuing bank when it comes up for renewal and say, look, I'd like to keep this, but I'm not using it. And if I have to pay the fee, I'm not going to keep it. The first two of mine that have come up, they've waived the fee in both cases. Most people have reported to me the same thing. Not everybody is doing that, but it's worth a call for $100 to throw, because if they waive the fee, why, then you're in business.
Well, there you go. And if you have a question for the Travel Guys, go to TravelGuysRadio.com. Right there on the homepage is a place for you to put in your question, and we'll get to it, or Mark will answer personally back to you when he has an opportunity. Hey, I guess that's it. Next week we'll be back. More Travel Guys right here. In the meantime, you stay safe, my friends. Mark?
You dance like nobody's watching. We got the Cowboy Poetry Group on next week. How you can be there virtually this time around.
All right. That sounds like fun. All right. Stay well. See you next time.